This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Thank everybody for joining us this weekend, whether it's on the radio, on our website, or on our podcast, Cullen Economics Report. It's always great to hear from all of our listeners. And just as a note, this first hour is being recorded live from the floor of the New Orleans Investment Conference, another just good conference that I appreciate, first of all, seeing a lot of our listeners and also talking to a lot of the speakers at this show, and I'm kicking off the show with a good friend of our show, Peter Buchvar. Peter, you had a very interesting talk at this conference, and it deals a lot with central banks and essentially the taking away of this easy money that has supported markets and, I guess you could argue, kind of supported economies for, well, a number of years now, but we are seeing this shift almost led by the Fed. Encapsulate kind of what your almost half-hour talk is into maybe just a little synopsis for our listeners, please.
Well, we'll start with 2017. We entered the year, and I sort of thought that it was going to be this tug-of-war between the tailwind and hopes for regulatory and tax reform in term, with the new president on one hand, but the headwind of a tightening of monetary policy on the other. Fed obviously followed through with quantitative tightening, raising interest rates. That was certainly swamped by what the Bank of Japan and the ECB did, in addition to the market that really got excited about the Trump administration and lower taxes and regulatory relief and so forth. I think going into 2018, the monetary tightening starts to intensify, and that we've priced in tax reform. We've priced in a lot of that good news. So the sort of the focus is going to shift to the other side. So we have the Fed that is going to be cutting the size of their balance sheet from October of this year through the end of next year by almost $500 billion. The ECB is going to trim their run rate of purchases after the announcement today by about $500 billion. So that's $1 trillion of liquidity that is no longer there. This has been a PE multiple rising driven, well, a PE multiple expansion driven market. Since the end of 2012, the S&P 500 is up 80%. Earnings are up 30%. That's called PE expansion. So now that central banks are beginning to, or getting deeper into removing that so-called punch bowl, what that PE multiple is the most important thing, because you can have steady earnings, but if that multiple is going down, stocks are going down. And let's just say for a minute that the estimates are right for next year and the S&P 500 is $150 per share, because that includes tax reform with no other consequences of note. Well, if the PE multiple declines by 1 point, that's 150 S&P points. So getting that rate right, or the P multiple right, is more important than getting the E right on earnings. Again, because stock prices have priced in this earnings recovery certainly more than once. So focus on central banks, focus on the global bond market, and focus on follow the money, essentially, because that liquidity flow is going to start turning into a drip.
So, Peter, what does interest rates play in all this? Because we will talk more about the unwinding of the Fed balance sheet and who knows what the ECB and Bank of Japan are going to do. But in terms of interest rates, as they slowly creep up, not just in the U.S., but I'm also assuming around the world, is there a break-even point here? How does this factor in?
Well, that's always difficult to answer, is what that trigger point is. So we know that, at least in the U.S., the short end is going up because the Fed's going to continue to raise interest rates. I think the long end, it could be more determined by what happens in Japan and Europe, because Japan's in a subtle taper. I expect that taper to continue, in that they are going to try to verbally jawbone the yield curve, at least out 10 years to where they want it to be, but securities past that, they're not really buying. And if they can keep rates relatively low out to 10 years, well, they don't need to buy as many JGBs. At some point, with the stock market doing what it's doing in Japan, maybe they say, you know what, I don't need to buy any ETFs anymore. And we have in Europe, European bond market is an epic bubble. Not only the sovereign bond market with the German 10-year at 45 basis points and the French 10-year below 1%, you have the European high-yield bond market, which is a major bubble, with the average yield at 2.25% below the U.S. 10-year treasury. So that's an epic bubble that is going to begin to unwind. So here you have this bubble, and you have the central bank that created the bubble that is about to say, you know what, we're going to start pricking the bubble. And yes, it'll be more than just ending QE. It'll be when they start to get rid of negative interest rates, which, of course, is going to be more of a 2019 event. But that's what you have to look forward to now, as opposed to the last 10 years, when is every central banker said, how can I ease more? How can I do more? Now central bankers are saying, how can I do less? How can I do less? And if you think this is an earnings-driven equity market, then fine, be bullish. If you think this has been a central bank-driven explosion in asset prices of all forms, well, then be more worried, and I'm of the latter.
Well, all you need to do is look at what the S&P has done and overlay that chart with the amount of money that has been created from the ECB, from the Bank of Japan, and it's almost perfectly correlated. So there's obviously something at play here. But again, this unwinding of the balance sheet in the U.S., possibly what could start happening in the ECB. Who knows about Bank of Japan? They've been printing money forever. But where do these extra bonds, extra assets land if they're not buying anymore at the rate that they have been?
Right. It's finding that extra incremental buyer. And the question is, do rates need to be higher in order to draw that incremental buyer? And you have, not only in the U.S., you have budget deficits that are now really accelerating higher. So over the next couple of years, the U.S. government is going to be issuing more bonds. At the same time, the Fed is buying less bonds, and foreigners are buying less U.S. treasuries. So, yeah, that's the question, is who's going to fill that gap? And it may be that we need higher rates in order to entice that marginal buyer to fill those shoes.
So overall, I think what we are pointing at here is that the stock market bubble is, well, in a worrisome state because of the major player taking away this easy money. But does that mean we get just a drastic rollover, a major collapse, or is this, again, kind of a slow rollover and a gradual decline, kind of like the markets, how they've just climbed up, maybe the reverse of just climbing down?
Well, it's impossible to answer, but if you look at the two scenarios, let's just say, you know, we're combining historically high equity valuations. Said that a million times, whether it's 1929 or 2000. We know that's the case. That's a fact. The question is when does high valuations matter? What makes people start to pay attention to what they are paying for stocks? And that is a tightening of monetary policy. That is when the Fed is taking away that punch bowl. Because the last 13 rate hike cycles, 10 put us into recession. So will the decline be a multi-year bear market? I don't know, maybe. Or is it going to be a 1987 type crash? Well, crashes are kind of rare, so I'm not going to argue that. But the end result still may be the same. Do you want it over quickly, or you want to do death by a thousand cuts? And I don't know the answer to how it's going to play out, but I do know that we're going to have more flash crashes just because machines have taken over, and that you have all this volatility selling, and you have momentum chasers both up and down, that if things do begin to sell off, it can just be the machines that accelerate and exaggerate any move. So I think we're entering a more dangerous environment because the liquidity spigot, as I say, is turning into a drip. And that is really going to matter with valuations excessively high.
Okay. Well, Peter, some interesting comments here. I appreciate you sharing some of your insights on your speech. Again, I always love chatting with you. And I'm excited for next segment because we just had Rick Rule walk into our booth. He's going to join me and you in our next segment. We're going to continue this discussion, also talk a little bit about resources, but then also look at the flip side of will the central banks all of a sudden change course if we do start to see, well, when we see the liquidity pulled away, if we do start to see the markets roll over. We can talk about the Fed's dual mandate, but quite frankly, they just continue to watch very closely what goes on in the markets. So do we, but hey, the Fed is there to support the banks, and the banks are also very invested. So a discussion for next segment. Everybody stick around. I'm very excited and hope that all of you are as well.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calven Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. Radio.recordedvideo.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition, and I want to get right into this segment because, as I mentioned at the tail end of last segment, I'm sitting down with Rick Rule and Peter Buchvar. No introduction necessary for our audience. Big fans of both of you. And what I wanted to start with here, Rick, is talking about what Peter had to say in the last segment, what his speech is about here, that the story of 2018 will be central banks around the world turning off this easy money spigot. We've already seen the Fed really start to do this and even starting to unwind their balance sheet. But the ECB continues to talk about it. The Bank of Japan, that's a wild card, but who knows? They might start following. Can we get a quick comment from you on potentially this trend that we are seeing that could pick up?
From the point of view of a rational human being, I hope it happens. The idea that you make an economy better by artificially manipulating interest rates and by subsidizing spenders at the expense of savers is idiotic. From the point of view of an equity market investor, taking away the punch bowl, of course, is very damaging to the party. So I must admit, personally, my emotions are mixed. While I appreciate the fact that easy money policies benefit rich people like me, and I like being benefited, on the other hand, the idea that society as a whole would be served better by eliminating the really overt manipulation of markets, I think would be a very good thing. As to its probability, I will leave that to smarter people than I. As you know, I don't even own a television set, so my ability to anticipate popular culture sort of unblemished by success.
Hey, I'm actually a little bit jealous of you for being able to do that, but hey, I'm in this every day, so I get to talk about it on a regular basis. Now, we are at a resource conference. Let's talk. Well, we will get into resources, but first, a big conversation of topic, especially kind of tying in with the central banks, is the balance between inflation and deflation. Peter and I were talking off mic about, well, everybody, all these central banks want to get to 2% inflation. They can't seem to do it. Maybe reversing course, maybe that'll happen. But overall, where do you stand on where we are in this inflation-deflation debate?
Two comments, Corey, and I'll start again with a disclaimer. I'm not an economist, but the folks who calculate inflation don't shop where I shop. They also sometimes calculate it ex food and fuel. As you can tell by looking at me, food's an important part of my expenditures, and I like to drive and fly. So the idea that they don't include food and fuel and they don't shop where I shop makes me wonder about their inflation statistics. The second thing I think you have to consider is time. On my way to work in Carlsbad, California, every day I drive by a little business called Motel 6. You wouldn't know this because you're too young, but it's named Motel 6 because when I was your age, a room there cost $6. The sign now says Motel 6, $59.99. Now, that either means that a room at Motel 6 is 10 times the size it was, or the denominator, the U.S. dollar, in terms of its purchasing power, has declined by 90%. You got to figure out what that is. But from my viewpoint, I don't reckon that the utility afforded by a room at Motel 6 has increased tenfold in 30 years.
Rick, you're not going to get an argument from me. And well, I live in Vancouver, so you want to talk about high costs every day. Man, that's what I see. That's what I deal with every day. But no, yeah.
One more thing about this, and I want to get this in. You know, the CPI number doesn't include tax. Now, I wouldn't complain so much about the calculation if I didn't have to pay the tax. But the last time I looked, tax was part of my cost of living. I realize that in a place like New Orleans, there's all these protesters who tell you don't have to pay tax. But if you don't pay tax, you get visited by these big, mean guys with guns, and they either put you in jail or they kill you. So I kind of think you have to pay tax. And the idea that they don't include tax, and they don't include the increase in the on-balance sheet liabilities that either I or my heirs, successors, and assigns are going to be liable to, means to me that they greatly, greatly, greatly misstate the purchasing power of the money I earn.
Hey, it's a totally broken calculation, but unfortunately that seems to be what we're stuck with, and that seems to be what some of these powerful people do look at. Peter, let's get your opinion on this inflation-deflation. Answer some of Rick's comments here that I know you're seeing inflation on a daily basis, but we're not seeing the data line up.
Yeah, well, let's break out inflation into different components. We have services inflation, and I think that's clear that that has been running well above reported CPI. In fact, services inflation ex energy within CPI for many years was running 3% plus, predominantly healthcare costs, rental costs. Housing is 40% of CPI. Then you have goods, where just as a natural tendency, technology efficiency leads to a downward pressure on prices. Then you have commodities thrown within there, and we know they go up and down. So people look at inflation, deflation like it's black or white. Well, let's throw in asset prices. Well, there's inflation and there's deflation. What I like to do is when I hear a central banker say inflation, we want it higher, we want it 2%, I want them to replace the word inflation with cost of living. I want them to go on TV and say, we want a higher cost of living. Instead of a 1% increase in your cost of living, we want a 2% increase in your cost of living, and see how that narrative would work for them if they framed it in that way. But that's essentially what they're saying, because they only look at consumer price inflation. They don't look at asset price inflation. And I think that is, when you think about what I call the havoc and the scorched earth policy of central bankers in order to generate a 2% rise in the cost of living, it is truly astonishing, at the same time ignoring all the other inflation that they've created. Because essentially, inflation is, they created massive inflation in the quantity of money. It's just a matter of where does it show up. And yeah, maybe it didn't show up in the statistics that they point out, but it's still out there. And I just want to make this one last point on inflation. There are two inflation numbers that the Fed focuses on, but they focus on more so the PCE than the CPI. PCE is running well below CPI. In fact, CPI core was 2% or higher for 17 straight months, but the Fed ignored it because they focused on PCE. One of the depressants on PCE core is healthcare, and that Medicaid and Medicare is essentially the government price fixing of healthcare costs, limiting the pace of increase. Well, that was a core reason why PCE lagged CPI. So the Fed relied on a flawed inflation number that's manipulated by government price fixing and healthcare to run monetary policy to the extremity that they did.
So again, just a broken system from the government standpoint and what they're trying to at least pass on to the average citizen. I like your idea. Let's call it a cost of living rate and see how everyone responds when they say we want it going up by 2%, because that really doesn't help anybody. But talking about inflation from a commodity standpoint, we've seen base metals run. We've actually seen oil appreciate and set up a higher trading range. We're starting to see these signs of more money hitting commodities, even as the U.S. equity markets continue to scream higher. Is this a continuing trend? You go first, Peter.
The embers of this commodity run have been in place for years when you've seen this collapse in mining investment. When you hear, now whether they're following through or not is up for debate, but when the Chinese say we need to cut excess capacity in a variety of different raw materials that they produce, you have to pay attention to that. When you've seen trillions of dollars of offshore oil projects getting canceled, there's going to be an eventual response to that. I'm of the opinion that there's some embers beginning to sprout in agriculture. So you can throw in some food inflation that I think you're setting up for higher commodity prices over the next couple of years.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Now, Rick, over to you. We have seen, as I mentioned, base metals, even precious metals, somewhat higher. They're setting up higher lows, but base metals have been moving. Oil has been moving. What are your comments?
Couple comments. One, most major industrial commodities are priced in today's market below the cost of production, including cost of capital. So oil is an example. The International Energy Agency says fully loaded cost worldwide $60. So you make the stuff for $60 and you sell it for $45. You lose $15 and you do it 100 million times a day. Eventually that gets unpleasant. And what happens, irrespective of the market response to low oil prices, is that eventually you reduce the ability to supply oil. When you meet supply and demand with demand pull and the productive infrastructure is in place, the market can meet the price signal by increasing supply. But if you defer offshore investments, if you reduce the productive capacity, when the price signal hits the market and you've destroyed productive capacity, you can't increase the supply to meet the demand. So you get the same price spikes that we had in the early part of the last decade. The second thing that I'm just starting to see, leaving strong equity markets aside, is I'm actually beginning to see early signs of an economic recovery. I have some clients who are in the general economy who now report supply constraints, hiring constraints. So it could be that in addition to supply destruction, we're beginning to see incipient demand creation after 8 years of an extremely poor economy. It's too early for me to tell you that that's actually occurring, but that's sort of the commodities wet dream, collapsing supply capabilities in the face of increasing demand.
Well, and this is more of a backdrop that maybe some of the gloom and doomers don't want to admit, but commodities do well if the economy is also doing well. We don't need to see a major collapse for people to move into commodities, do we?
Absolutely true. I mean, with the possible exception of gold. My own belief is that gold is also a consumer good. It's a savings instrument, and if people have more money to save, the price of all savings instruments, including gold, would do well. Now, again, you have me way out of my league of competence, but certainly an economic recovery would do well for the basic sort of components of human existence, which are food commodities, as you described, industrial minerals, and, of course, energy.
Peter, your comments, are you seeing the same stats maybe that, or the same signs that Rick is seeing of a general economic growth, regenerated policy?
Well, we've seen better data out of Europe, that's clear. I mean, Europe's going to grow 2% this year. It's the best growth rate they've seen since the recession. Asian economies are doing better. Global trade is doing better after a few years of soft activity. I think the U.S. is still stuck in this 2 to 2.5%. So a lot of the improvements I'm seeing is outside of the U.S. The U.S. is still a mixed bag. Consumers still challenged. Capital spending has improved. Exports have improved. And we'll have to see how the U.S. economy deals with the tightening of monetary policy. Because like I said earlier, typically, and of the last 13 rate hike cycles since World War II, 10 put us into recession. And considering the extremity of this rate easing cycle, I find it hard to believe that we're going to somehow skirt the tightening of monetary policy without getting to a recession. I think a big determinant to that will be what asset prices do. I think the next recession will be driven by a decline in asset prices, just as the last two have been driven by a decline in asset prices, homes and tech stocks.
Yeah, but now, Rick, let's move into your expertise, and that is these resource companies that we are seeing here. There's a lot of familiar faces. There are a couple new stories, still not a ton of new stories, but we have seen a general change, I think, maybe on the back of potentially what Novo might find. We still don't know, but we're starting to see investors look at true new exploration stories more so than these rethinks of old mines. Do you think this is sustainable? Do you think this is healthy? What are your comments?
I really think it's healthy. We have, as an industry, for 20 years, both underinvested and misinvested in exploration. The major mining companies all came to be run by people like me, financial people. And they looked at every expense other than the president's salary as a variable expense, including exploration. And you know, Corey, every day that you mine, your business gets smaller. You don't stand at the top of the hole and throw in water and fertilizer and have it grow copper. It doesn't work that way. And so the industry has underinvested, the majors have underinvested in exploration for 2 decades. And the consequence of that is that their development pipelines are empty. At the same time, the juniors, who are supposed to be doing the exploration, spent 20 years drilling market holes. They were not actually trying to make discoveries. They were trying to twin one hole on an old failed property that could jitney the stock from 25 cents to 75 cents. So the real guys didn't invest, and the bad guys invested poorly. We're coming to the place now where discoveries get rewarded. An example would be the last bear market, Reservoir Minerals discovers Timok. In a market where the index fell by 90%, that stock went from 40 cents to a $9 takeout. The recent Integra buyout, Mariana, we are in a market where investors are starting to be, they're starting to recognize that they can be extravagantly rewarded with exploration. And the Novo story, a $20 million market cap going to $1 billion without a drill hole, tells you that, if nothing else, the sellers of exploration stocks are exhausted. Remember, stocks go up for a couple of reasons. In the absence of sellers, you'll remember the uranium bull market, the little one at the beginning of this year. The stocks went up 300% on no buying just because the sellers drilled up. I really do think that we're early in a discovery cycle. The last discovery cycle that we were in was 92 to 96, and it was the most violent up move of my career. Short, but violent. I'm not saying that past is prologue, but I am saying that all the circumstances are in place for a real speculative frenzy in exploration.
Well, I've even noticed, talking to our listeners, talking to the other analysts that I talk to, is that there's a lot of people watching the sector still not chasing into any stocks, except for maybe Novo, which, again, doesn't even have a drill hole, but they are a sponsor. I am also a shareholder. But as a comment on that, do you see this slowly building on itself? Is this one of these bull markets that just gradually picks up steam?
Exactly. People are looking at it with interest but not responding with greed. Novo went up because Novo went up. Sort of like the sort of third-tier cryptocurrencies. you know, it's a great story. And it is told by a very, very credible geologist, somebody who I've known for 20 years. If I had heard that story from somebody that I didn't know and trust and love, I would have shorted it. But having Quentin tell a story means, you know, whether or not you understand it, you have to be interested in it. But it's indicative, as you say, of the fact that the market is ready to take the risk associated with exploration. And I think, ironically, because the market usually gets it wrong, the timing is pretty good. You know, the soil is prepared for this.
It is, and it is exciting in that sense. Let's wrap us up with a quick comment here. General commodities, is there one more that you're focusing on or one sector of the commodities index that you think people should get exposure to?
I think in the very near term, you want to be in the precious metals. The precious metals prices themselves have performed well in the last 18 months, and the precious metal stocks after a superb 2016 haven't. In my experience, when this happens, there's a catch-up. I think the second thing that's happening that people aren't paying attention to in the precious metals is that the paradigm in precious metals valuations, precious metals mining company valuations, has changed for the better. The investment community, my generation, came of age in the 1970s. The gold price went from $35 to $850, and the equities outperformed. The consequence of that is that a whole generation of guys like me asked precious metals mining companies to exhibit leverage to the gold price. Now, ironically, the most marginal gold companies exhibit the most leverage. So for 40 years, smart guys like me have asked the mining industry to be marginal, and the mining industry complied. We made it a completely marginal industry. An industry so marginal that in the last bull market, where the gold price went from $260 to $1,900, free cash flow per share declined. It took real skill to accomplish that. Now we're beginning to ask mining companies to be rational allocators of capital, and our expectations are much more rational, and that can only be helpful.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the Weekend Edition. And just another comment, I hope everybody did enjoy my combination interview, I guess you can call it, with Rick Rule and Peter Buchvar. I found that very interesting to get a little take on the economics and the economies of the world, as well as, well, some of the resources. But in this segment, also very excited to have Byron King on the show with me. Byron writes The Gold Speculator with Jim Rickards. I subscribe to the newsletter. I recommend checking it out if you are interested in, well, investing in precious metals companies. And Byron, usually we talk about precious metals and some of the companies that you cover, but you brought up an interesting concept to me that we're going to discuss here, and that deals with the uranium market, also dealing with the Uranium One scandal. It's a little bit of politics and also a market I know that has been on a lot of people's minds. Everyone's saying uranium's going to break out. It just hasn't happened yet. But let's first look at the political side of things. Uranium One has been quite the scandal, and hey, you know what? Trump could make something happen, but what's your concept of how this is all playing into the bigger picture for uranium?
Well, the first thing that happens, Corey, is that, you know, with the other yellow metal, so to speak, is that it has gained immense public visibility. Uranium, for years, really, has just been in the dark shadows. It's just it is whatever it is. But uranium plants across the United States produce something around 30% of U.S. energy. And if you look at, you know, for all the discussion of wind and solar and alternative and this and that, they are still a very, very, very small part of the overall energy mix of the U.S. grid. But you take away nuclear and you have a problem. So what Uranium One scandal is doing is elevating this issue into a public arena. And people are not just going to look at the raw politics of it and the Clinton Foundation angles and all those sort of things. They're going to, some intrepid reporters or some smart people are going to say, hey, wait a minute, what is this thing about uranium? And they're going to, oh, golly, you know, 30% of the U.S. energy grid comes from uranium plants, and 96% of U.S. uranium is imported, much of it from Kazakhstan, and only 4% of U.S. uranium is domestically produced. 35 years ago, there were probably about 25,000 people engaged in a U.S. mining industry, you know, getting a paycheck from digging uranium out of the ground. Today, there are fewer than 500. Most of those people who are involved in the primary U.S. uranium industry are, you know, older people, let's say over 50, over 55. I mean, in a demographic sense, within 10 years, they'll be retired, they'll be gone, there will be no one. So this is truly a national security issue. And so my view of Uranium One scandal is, aside from just the raw politics, aside from the theater of the whole thing, aside from, you know, the front page of the Washington Post, you know, taking down Hillary Clinton and getting her out of the way so that the Democrats can now, you know, bring up the junior varsity and start to, you know, start to replace, you know, this elderly cabal that runs their party with some younger blood. Aside from all that, we do have a raw, basic energy security, energy-focused issue here in the United States with respect to 30% of our grid and an utterly minuscule amount of uranium coming from domestic sources. So I think we are looking at the beginnings of a U.S., and I'd say U.S.-Canadian regeneration, so to speak, to mix a few electrical metaphors here, but a regeneration of the uranium industry.
And this is just, as you said, kind of a North American thing, too, because we do continue to hear stories of China trying to clean up their energy infrastructure, Japan potentially, eventually, actually, going to bring back on some more reactors, but yet still, we're still stuck in a very depressed uranium price. Why is this disconnect still around, do you think?
A lot of it has to do with the fact that U.S. Utility companies, the companies that run nuclear power plants, bought their uranium years ago. You know, 10 and 12 years ago in these long-term contracts, about 10 years ago when uranium ran up to over $130 a pound, Cameco, which was the world's largest producer, was locked into almost its entire sales effort of uranium at $130 a pound. They were selling uranium for under $40. Because they had been locked into these long-term contracts. So a company like Cameco did not benefit from that, you know, $100 delta between, you know, what they were selling it at and what the spot price was. So a lot of the reason why we haven't seen it hasn't become an issue is because utilities are still burning off those long-term contracts, but they are burning off. They are running out of time on those contracts, and they can't. It's not like they can wait until the contract expires and then say, "Oh, let's renegotiate our contract tomorrow morning." No. You've got to renegotiate these things like, you know, 3 and 2 and at least a year and a half in advance. You've got to get this stuff in place. You lock it all in, get, you know, because the suppliers themselves, they have to do their mine planning. They have to do their production planning. They plan these things, you know, months and years ahead of time in terms of, you know, what production run is going to wind up in what, you know, uranium rod, which is going to go to which reactor for which utility company. There's a very, very complex logistical chain. So, you know, without getting into the, you know, the gory, gory details of the whole thing, it is time for uranium to make its turnaround. And we are truly in, you were talking about, you discussing with Rick Rule earlier, you're truly in this mode where if you are not a contrarian, you can also, you'll be a victim, you know. So uranium is the most contrarian upside play that there is out there right now.
Well, one thing that I find interesting is the current uranium price. The argument is there's no producer out there that can be able to actually produce uranium and sell it for what the spot price is. So there is, again, this disconnect.
Well, you've got this issue of companies that are producing uranium and selling it under the long-term contracts. You know, the spot price might be in the, might be 20, but, you know, the long-term contract might be, say, 40. It depends on the company and the contract. So somebody's making a little bit of money. They're meeting their costs. They can make the payroll. They can keep the lights on, so to speak, at their offices. Nobody's making a killing out of this. Nobody's making any giant, you know, profits or anything. And the spot market has been crushed. Yes, but that, in terms of the ability to create new supply, when the spot price is 20 and your long-term contract is at 40, and the cost of developing a new supply, when you throw in the cost of exploration, of development, of all the things that go with it, building facilities to mine and process them, that cost is up around $75-$80 a pound. So you're selling a product that at spot is 20, at long-term contract is 40, and the cost to replace it is 80. There is a true disconnect, a true upside-down aspect to the economics of what's going on here. It simply can't last. Now the question is, when will it turn around? My view my just hunch on this, is that the Uranium One scandal could be a trigger for that kind of a thing. The Uranium One is going to break into the big public consciousness over the next month and 2 months. This could be sort of a retro Watergate, in the sense that we're not talking about a Watergate on Trump. He hasn't done anything with uranium. But it'll be a Watergate for the Obama and the Clinton side. And that's, again, that's the politics of the whole thing, and that's going to play out in its own way. But the elevation of uranium and uranium nuclear power to a very high level of public consciousness is going to trigger other thinking. It's going to trigger people saying, why are we importing 96% of our uranium? A simple stroke of Donald Trump's pen on an executive order could begin the process of reversing or placing barriers in front of those sort of uranium imports, and it could be an extremely beneficial thing for both the U.S. and Canadian uranium markets or uranium developer companies.
See, I find this so interesting because, again, as I mentioned, the whole uranium story seemed to be around other countries, China, Asia, well, a bunch of other companies outside of North America, but now this Uranium One scandal is kind of putting it more on people's radar in North America. But again, as I said, you cover a lot of companies, and I know you don't really cover too many uranium companies, so we won't get into specifics there, but there have been some very interesting discoveries. There seem to be some companies out there exploring, finding some pretty good grades of uranium. Again, they're not moving. Where are you looking? Are you looking at the developers? Are you looking at the explorers? Where do you think the sweet spot is in the market?
Well, if you look at the geology, the, you know, the Saudi Arabia of uranium, so to speak, is Saskatchewan, and there are a couple of names up there in the Canadian group, and in the U.S. there's, you know, there's one outfit that just really dominates the uranium primary production, and they have massive land position in Texas, of all places. You think of Texas as oil and gas, and Texas as fracking and all that sort of. There are these roll front uranium deposits in the sandstones that underlie Texas, you know, from about San Antonio south to the border with Mexico, and it's massive roll front uranium deposits that are amenable to in situ recovery, ISR, which is not digging, mining, stripping, anything like that. It's not fracking. It's really just drilling a few holes, pumping oxygenated water, hydrogen peroxide, basically, you know, through the rock and dissolving the uranium out of it. It's a very benign process.
Okay. So, again, it's one of those stories that be company specific, but sounds like you're even following some of them. So maybe we'll follow up on this discussion again. But
one of these days, we might have a Jim Rickards Uranium Speculator newsletter.
I look forward to that. And you know what? I'll subscribe to that one, too, because I do love your guys' newsletter.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother?
Get VirtualShield.com,
the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust.
Get started today at VirtualShield.com.
Take advantage of our free 30-day trial.
VirtualShield.com.
You have the right to remain private.